This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
In our hearts this moment, to let your Holy Spirit come, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things in your law, and to open our ears that we may hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Move in our midst, Father in heaven. Come, and lead us into your truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as mentioned last week, we had been going through the series of the book of Luke, and we took time to see the Christmas season, which was a blessing, and last week we transitioned out of that and with a New Year's message, which was very encouraging to think of how God wants to bless us so much as we come into His presence and ask Him to search us and see if there's anything in us that needs to be confessed and for God's grace to work in. I've been blessed to know that there have been an average of 60 to 100 people who listen to our messages on our website, and so that's encouraging. Now we come back into the book of Luke, and we inevitably are at the point in our story of looking at the individual called in the scriptures, John the non-denominationalist who baptized people. He's called John the Baptist because he baptizes. He's not a baby anymore. He's grown up. He's come into the scene. And he's a man with a message. He's a man with a mission, and he's a man with a motive. He was sent by God on a mission. He was given a divine message, and he had a pure motive. John the Baptist was given a divinely appointed mission before he was born. The prophecy of John the Baptist came well before he was on the scene. Now many people think that John was this wild prophet only to proclaim judgment and wrath. It was true that he came. He was wild. He ate locusts and had camel hair for clothes in the wilderness. He did preach judgment. He did preach wrath. But there's only something about that statement that's not true. It's the word only. John proclaimed judgment and wrath for the purpose of bringing peace and forgiveness. In fact, when Zacharias, his father, prophesied about John the Baptist, his child, back in chapter 1, he says this, that John was to guide our feet into the way of peace. Isaiah the prophet was letting us know about John's mission, the mission of John the Baptist in chapter 3. Verses 4 to 6, the Bible says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. His mission was to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. It's worth noting that John the Baptist was not sent to the pagan nations. John the Baptist was sent to the Jews who claimed to be God's children. And what had happened was, over the years, there was this immorality that had come into the Jewish community, and this religious hypocrisy had come into this community. And God sent John the Baptist to clear the way, to bring down the mountains, fill up the valleys, and bring in the coming of Jesus Christ. He had a mission. He knew his mission. And his whole life was spent fulfilling that mission. He said, "I will prepare people for Jesus." There was no other reason for John the Baptist to live except for this. This was why John the Baptist existed. To say, "I will prepare people for Jesus." And technically, there is no difference between you and a missionary. Did you know that? A missionary is someone who is sent on a mission. Technically, we think of missionaries, and it's true, as being sent out to reach the unreached people groups and bring the word of God to those who are in darkness and don't have any Christian background or anything. But to be honest, in our culture, aren't there people who have been unreached in your life? Aren't there people who have not been in a Christian group setting in your life? Everyone is a missionary because we've been given a mission. We're working together for this mission here to prepare the way for people to meet Jesus Christ. And you say, "Well, I'm not called to be a preacher. I'm not called to be an evangelist. I'm not called to be a prophet." Well, the Bible says that we are all ambassadors for Christ. That we all have a home in heaven and have been sent to here to represent Christ. And God's intention for your life, God's mission for your life, is to prepare the way for Jesus to come. To prepare the way for Christ to come into their hearts. A lot of people have occupations in this life. A lot of people have hobbies in this life. A lot of people have ambitions in this life. But how many people have a mission? How many people can define their purpose of life as a whole? How many people can realize their whole reason for existence? Why they're here? We've been called to be ambassadors for Christ. John the Baptist had a mission, and the natural outflow of that mission was his message. John the Baptist had a message. He was sent to deliver a message. The message is summarized in Matthew chapter 3. The message that God had for John. Matthew chapter 3, the first few verses. "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" You know, William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, who lived in the 19th century, said this, quote, "The chief danger that confronts the coming century," which was the 20th century, "will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, heaven without hell." End quote. John the Baptist was here preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That was his message. That's what he was to declare to the people. Back in Luke chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." That baptism was a public profession of an inward truth. You know, the Jews were very familiar with baptism. They baptized people who wanted to convert to Judaism. And John the Baptist was coming and saying, "We're going to baptize you, Jewish people, for the remission of sins." Because connection to a biological lineage means nothing in God's eyes. It is a state of one's heart. And whether they have their faith in the faith of Abraham, whether they have believed the gospel to be proclaimed from Jesus. This was how John was to prepare the way for Jesus, through preaching repentance. And this was primarily because John was preaching to professing children of God. He was not sent to the pagan peoples, but to the chosen people of God. That would be like God sending a prophet to the churches, not to the secular institutions. His message was to repent. Now, repentance is not a word that the world understands anymore. It tends to be only known in the Christian circles. But even then, it's starting to lose its vagueness. Even then, it's starting to turn into this thing of, you know, repentance is work your way to salvation. That's not repentance. Repentance is not do something to earn your forgiveness. That's not repentance. The word repent literally means change your mind. That's what it literally means. Therefore, a natural outflow of repentance is reception. You see, you turn from sin, you change your mind about sin, and you turn and you receive salvation. You turn and you change your mind about compromise, and you receive conversion. And that's why John the Baptist begins to teach about how repentance brings a change. Look at verse 8 there in chapter 3. He says, "Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" The Jews were saying, "We're right with God because we're related to Abraham." Listen, no one is saved because of their family's faith. No one is saved because of their spiritual heritage. Each person needs to repent for themselves. Many people have been blessed to be in a godly family context where everyone in the family loves Jesus Christ. And the whole atmosphere is filled with the Christian faith. But no member of that family can claim somebody else's faith for themselves. They personally, they themselves need to put their own faith and trust in Christ. And so the Jews were saying, "We're related to Abraham." And John the Baptist says, "God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." Each individual needs to have their own faith. Each person needs to repent for themselves, believe for themselves. And by the power of God's Holy Spirit, live that godly life. Look at verse 9. "Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Good works do not earn salvation. Good works are the evidence of salvation. The illustration given here is this fruit. Any tree that does not bear fruit is cut down. The Bible describes how when someone puts their faith in Christ, when someone repents of their sin, is born again, they're grafted into the faith of Abraham. And they're like a tree that's been, or a branch that's been grafted into the vine of Christ. And because of the vine of Christ, the sap comes through the branch, and the branch bears fruit. And so the natural outflow of our salvation in Christ is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. This is the natural outflow of someone who has been grafted into the vine of Christ. Excuse me. This is the message of John the Baptist. It's why in the next few verses there, he explains, he teaches the people what fruit looks like in the different contexts. He says to the tax collectors, this is what fruit looks like in your life. He says to the soldiers, this is what fruit looks like in your life. In his way, people's hearts were prepared to receive the remission of sins found in the coming Messiah. And the same has been with us. We have been sent on a mission. We're missionaries. And we have been given a message. Now you may ask, am I supposed to go around telling everyone to repent? Well, it depends. Think of it. The Bible says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Our message is to prepare the hearts of people for salvation. Every mountain shall be brought low. Every valley shall be raised up. It speaks of the mountains of pride are crumbled by the message of law, wrath, judgment. But the valleys of emptiness and brokenness and depression are filled with the message of mercy and grace and forgiveness. So our message depends on the obstacles in our path, do you see? If someone is, if you have somebody, you know they need the gospel, and in your dealings with them, all you are confronted with is pride, self-righteousness, hypocrisy. They need the Holy Spirit's conviction of sin, the warnings of judgment, the condemnation of the law. Why? Because the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Why? Because, in a way, the heat of hell makes a person parched for the living water. But then you come across somebody who is broken, contrite, weary, burdened with sins. And they need the Holy Spirit's healing hand, the majesties of mercy, the fulfillment of righteousness in Christ, the glories of grace. Why? Because the light of heaven makes a person loathsome of the sin in darkness. Every mountain shall be brought low. Every valley shall be filled up. The Holy Spirit will guide each of you, each of us, in our experiences and whom we meet. He will guide us exactly what message He has for us to give in the condition of their heart. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He has this beautiful message of salvation that cuts down the brick walls of people's hardness and fills up the emptiness with living water of those who are in despair. There's no one out there, no matter what condition they are in, there is no one out there that God does not have truth to break through, truth to fill up. He's given us a message, brothers and sisters, and we've been sent on a mission. But listen, no matter what, you will always, 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 always receive severe criticism for your message. Always. No matter what it is. Look at Luke chapter 7. Jump a few pages here ahead. Luke chapter 7, verses 33. Jesus is talking to the people. The people criticize John the Baptist. The people criticize Jesus. Look what he says. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. You speak out against corrupt politicians, and you become accused of mingling politics with religion. John the Baptist spoke out against King Herod. And then you reach out to drug-addicted homeless people and you get accused of wasting time. John the Baptist was accused of being too harsh and judgmental when his message was repent. to the proud religious people, and Jesus was accused of being a glutton and drunkard because his message was love and grace and mercy to the repentant tax collectors. When he said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick who need a doctor. We're always going to receive criticism. And the only way around it is if we just compromise. We just ignore the truth. And we just try to make everybody feel good. This church will fill up to the brim. The exhortation for us is to preach the truth anyway. Preach the truth anyway. Do not compromise God's word. We're going to receive criticism. But the gospel and the truth and the means God has chosen, the message God has chosen, is the only way. The only way. Look at Romans chapter 10. This message, this gospel, this truth is the only way, and if we compromise, there is no hope. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How that shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? If they don't hear the truth, there is no hope. And how shall they preach unless they send? How shall they hear without a preacher? And you say, okay, I'm not a preacher. What is my job here? We've been given a message. We are called to preach, not in the pulpit, not in the street corner, but the pulpits of your workplaces and the pulpits of your schools and the pulpits of your homes. We are messengers. Salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Your life is a message. How you live is a message. John the Baptist was given a mission. John the Baptist was given a message. John the Baptist had a motive. Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. And we'll see the undercurrent of John the Baptist, the reason why he did what he did. John the Baptist was sent on a mission. He knew his message. But if he didn't have the right motive, all would be in vain. Verses 15 to 16. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was a Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loosen. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This was his motive behind all that he did. Do you know what Christ called John the Baptist? You know what Christ called John the Baptist? People were talking about John the Baptist, what he had to do with the whole scene of the Messiah coming. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. This is what Jesus Christ called John the Baptist. Chapter 11 of Matthew, verse 11. He says this of John the Baptist. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Jesus said that in all of human history, there has not been a better person than John the Baptist up to that point. So John the Baptist had all reasons to find worth in himself, didn't he? He had a following. He had disciples. He had attention. He had fame. His ministry was the most effective up to that point. But what was his motive? This was his response. If somebody came to John the Baptist and said, John, Jesus has called you the greatest man ever up to that point, John the Baptist would have responded with John chapter 3, verse 30. He says this, he must increase, I must decrease. That was the motive of the greatest man who ever lived up to that point. Jesus Christ must increase and I must decrease. Imagine if every time your heart beat, every single time, the heart spoke the motive of your life. Every single time. What would it say? What would your heart say? Myself, 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 myself. Jesus, 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 Jesus. That is to be the greatest motive that we could ever pursue. That is to be the greatest calling for any person on earth, any person with a mission, any person with a message, any Christian. The chief motive is Christ. He must increase, I must decrease. We can't claim anything for ourselves. Any blessing that has come to this world because of us, because of you, because of me, any blessing, credit goes to God. Glory goes to God. He must increase, we must decrease. Take that motive. He must increase. Jesus Christ. All for Him. Nothing about what I've done. Take that motive. Take that message. Salvation found in Christ alone through faith in Him. Take that mission. Why we're here in church this morning. Why we pray to God. Why we interact in this world and have our jobs and go throughout life. Take all that, brothers and sisters. Let this be our 2020 vision. Seeing clear. We are to be a church with a mission. Prepare the way of the Lord. We are to be a church with a message. Repent and believe in the gospel. And we are to be a church with a motive. Point people to Jesus. This is why we exist. This is why we come here. This is why we're Christians. Doesn't this excite us? This is exciting. We're going to become camel-haired, locust-eating people out there, okay? This is exciting. We have a message for the people of Dodgeville. We have a message for the people of Edmond, of Mineral Point, of wherever. That's the kind of reputation we should have. A unified group of people who are straight and narrow-minded for Christ. I'm excited about 2020. And I'm thankful for the unity of mind found in the brothers and sisters of Christ here who are ready to move forward with the mission God has for us. Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, Your word is eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Your word shall never pass away. Our hearts have been convicted. We need a right motive, O God. May our hearts pump the motive of Christ alone. Perhaps somebody here has been convicted of sin, has realized that they are not grafted into this vine. I pray that they would come. I pray that they would receive this forgiveness. I pray that your Holy Spirit would break down the mountains, would come and fill up the valleys, and make a straight way into their hearts. Father, as we leave here this morning, may we prepare the way for you to come. In Jesus' name, amen.